multiple times, stating that our status as a low-income housing unit was in question because we had failed to send in the P&L for 2024. So we sent that in.
Right.
Letters about a cap. So to us, these are two different things. Can you tell me how they're connected?
In other words, for these low-income housing, you have to provide your income statements, obviously. And I can let the assessor address this personally, but the cap, there's a cap rate that has to be determined. In other words, what cap rate is used for your, and then you add in the effective tax rate, and then there's also a in your income, I'm sure you're going to have a reserves account. Probably required for, I believe that's required as part of this, the low-income housing property. So we've had three different groups in here talking about the cap, what they feel the cap rate was appropriate, and also the reserves issue. And right now we're at, there's a service called CoStar, which there's enough data coming out of Branson. They have a specific cap rate, which was at 7.9, plus the effective rate, you're a little over 9. And then the reserves, you're an older property, probably be a 350 a unit. And that's how they would do the calculations once from your income numbers. Is that accurate? I'm asking the assessor.
How many units do you have?
How many units do you have? Do you know how many units you have?
At 10th Street, we have 24.
24. Okay.
Were they not assessed before?
They never would answer our letters.
So they just then never got taxed for 10 years?
It's been the same thing for a long time, I guess. Or I don't know what they were doing.
There's nothing.
Okay, so
we came across and we started doing them.
All right. But are these are supposed to... Is their property actually a subsidized housing, or is it not?
That's what I was told, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, maybe you guys aren't subsidized. Are you not subsidized housing? Government subsidized?
No, we do not have subsidy. No.
Okay, well, then none of that applies what I just told you. Okay, okay, so you're saying some of your residents get federal assistance, but it's not federally subsidized. The project was not federally subsidized.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
It's
all
not
right.
A tan tone. That's what I'm trying to figure out. We don't know what they're doing.
Okay. All right. So just some of your people are get federal assistance, but all right. The basis of this. I'm assuming that the value that they got on their card was just done on a cost basis.
Yeah.
For the 24 units. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so is the basis of your appeal valuation then?
Are you speaking to us, David?
Yes, I am. Basis of your appeal, yeah, it says valuation up there is what the... Okay, and what is it that you think the property... is worth? It looks like the purchase price on the property was in excess of what the value that the assessor has put on the property.
We purchased the property for $10 because Governmental Connections owned the property and sold it to Dignity Now to build the apartment
zone. It indicates on your appeal sheet that the price when purchased was 2.4 and your assessed value, I want to make sure, what's their value card so make sure it's accurate what mine's got?
They actually, and I scratched that out because that was what the cost was to build the property, and the property was $100,000.
Okay.
Property is what?
Just one second. listen, as a citizen board, all we're tasked with in these valuation questions is the value that the assessor has you at in excess of the fair market value of your property. And so if you think that the value is in excess of your fair market value of your property, then we need evidence of that it's overvalued. But otherwise, there's a limited amount we can really do. And I apologize about that confusion before, but somebody indicated to the assessor's office they thought you were a program.
501c3.
Okay. Never could get hold of them, but this year we finally did because we're told they're low-income housing. We're just trying to straighten out.
Okay. For some reason, you guys weren't even on the tax rolls prior to this.
We did about it in 2015.
Holy cow.
Taxes in 10 years.
So we had a letter dated April 29, 2015, that we passed the Franciscan test, and we were granted a request for exemption. I sent that letter over to some of my husbands.
Are you saying that somebody, the assessor at that time in 2015, thought you were exempt property?
We were exempt property, yes. We have a letter stating.
Okay. Okay, this limited partnership, it's a for-profit partnership, is it not? The St. Street Apartments?
We're not for-profit.
No.
Okay. If could you sell the property today and get money for it? In other words, does it all go to charity upon dissolution of your LLP, or your limited partnership?
The MHDC and the tax credit has the property for 15 years, and that was in the lore. I think that was the today. If you look at your
Okay, here's what...
We cannot sell that property.
All right.
We not have the right to.
All right. Is all the property in this St. Street's Apartments LP?
Is all of it what?
Is all of it in that limited partnership, that St. Street Apartments? We have the name on the tax bill as St. Street Apartments LP. Is that the corporation that owns, or the partnership that owns, all of this property?
Well,
I don't know. Okay, that's what the tax bill's in.
As you see, really, we can't sell it. Everything we do is regards to that property has to go through MHDC.
What's MHDC?
That's the Missouri Housing and Development Corporation, the company, whatever they call it.
Okay, but so that doesn't mean it's not. That doesn't mean that it's not a for-profit.
Right, and what I'm trying to get to is, they've never really sent us the things to figure out what the heck's going on. We got Allura, but we were not getting tax information. And so all these years they've been zero,
okay.
And I'm trying to think.
If I may.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons why I really would prefer that Leela be on the line. She is the individual that handles the financial side of all of this and has the...
Can we get her... her number, possibly. Wait a second. I don't want you to say it right now because we're broadcasting live on the internet. Okay. So, what I'd like you to do, can you call the clerk's office and give them the phone number of? Okay. What? She was going to do?
I sent that specifically in an email this morning, her phone number.
Oh, in the email, there's a...
Jerry, did you want to see the picture?
To do what?
I saw it. I have it up on the screen.
Oh, she showed you.
Yeah, I know where it's at. I've been there.
Okay, and you're not able to add her to this phone call right now?
Well, I can give it a shot.
There should be a little tab that says add call. We could still hear them, so I don't think it's...
That's where Bob Polson's son, Trey, lives.
Gotcha.
I remember he was on the board.
Okay, I mean, if they have a 501c3 designation, we just need to see that and see the bylaws, and we can probably, I mean, if they're exempt, they're exempt, but I don't know.
David, are you there?
I am.
Okay, Leela, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Hi, Leela. This is David Akers with the Taney County Board of Equalization, and we have the other board members and the assessor here, and we're trying to determine, this property doesn't seem to have been on the tax rolls before. It's been the assessor's office has attempted to get some information. I think they just need some information to determine, you know, we need to understand what's going on with this property. Is it a 501c3 that owns the, or is this a for-profit? Okay, I'm sorry you cut out there for a second. Can you say that?
Dignity now is the not-for-profit that is the managing general partner of the property. Dignity now is owned 100% by Developmental Connections, which is a quasi-governmental entity, your board.
Okay.
And that's why it's always had tax-exempt status.
Okay, but I'm trying to figure out whether that was supposed to be accurate, because what is important to us, or what we need to know, is who owns the land.
St. Street's Apartments owns the land.
St. Street's Apartments Limited Partnership?
Yes.
Okay. So is that limited partnership a 501c3?
The actual limited partnership itself is not. The managing general partner is.
Okay. Understand that everything that goes on the property could be tax exempt, but that does not make the land tax exempt. If the land does not go to a charitable purpose upon dissolution of the LLP, then the land's not exempt. And I'm going to give you an example. We've had one of these before where we had like a nun that owned her house that was doing a very wonderful thing, and she was helping people that people battered women, that kind of thing, and she'd set up, and she was a 501c3 for that purpose. But because the land went back to her upon dissolution of it, that means that the land is still taxable. So we can't exempt the land simply because it has a charitable purpose operating on it. The land has to be part of that 501c3 and be dispersed to a charitable organization upon dissolution of the LLP, of the LP.
Well, I can tell you that upon dissolution of the LLP or the partnership or whatever, Dignity Now, the 501c3, has first right of refusal to acquire everything.
I understand, but as
the only reason the investors are in it are for the tax credit.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I mean, that's the problem that we've got. If you can show me the bylaws of the corporation which take the property and give it to a charitable purpose upon dissolution, we can do that. But we're kind of limited on what
okay.
we are limited on what we can do.
Yes.
And understand, we're a citizen board. We're just doing this. This is not, we're not for or against the assessor. We're an independent board, citizen board. And so from our standpoint, we're just trying to determine why this hasn't been on the tax rolls. And from what you're telling me, the land is still owned by a limited partnership, and it's not going to a charitable purpose upon a dissolution.
I would say it is going to a charitable purpose upon its dissolution, but I would have to go back. I can send you, would you want the partnership agreement? Would you want the first right of refusal agreement that puts it back into the directions we're digging now?
Yeah, I mean, if you're telling me that upon dissolution of the LP, because your bylaws or your operating agreement, whatever tells us what happens to the property upon dissolution, that may change. In other words, it may change what we're looking at, but that's what we would need. We need something.
Okay.
Okay. And